and to your word. As Pastor Laolo and myself will be sharing the word, we come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of Pastor Lubia Momisera, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, and under you, the Almighty God. Thank you for the privilege to minister your word. These are not the words of men, they are the words of God. And so we come with humility, we come with reverence, we come with respect, asking for grace and divine abilities to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, because a clear channel is created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, so that the word of God will have a free course, and the word of God will be glorified. The word of God will break yokes, it will heal bodies, it will meet needs, it will bring glory to the name of Jesus. Blessings to the sons of men. Father, dissolve doubts, solve riddles, empower your people by the reason of the Spirit and the word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, wicked machinations against the effective delivery and receiving of the word. And so we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil, spirit of irreverence, spirit of infirmity, sickness, all you such contrary foul spirits, we cast you out. We destroy your works, we resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning the ministration of the word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask. You do more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's not a super hand clap. Glory. Amen. Let's be seated. You are welcome to Zion City Fellowship, campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Lubi Johnson and Momisera Johnson. Thank you for the honor to our parents. Bible says we should give honor to whom honor is due. We are grateful for their prayers. I just got pastor's WhatsApp now. All the best. I'm praying along. Amen. That's the heritage we have, and we don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. We don't take it for granted at all. Just came in. Praying along. So when we say we honor our fathers, when we say we are under their apostolic and prophetic covering, it's not theory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor spoke on Wednesday. Spoke on Wednesday. And, you know, it dawned on me. Today, I have confidence when I preach, because I'm standing under the apostolic and prophetic anointings of Pastor Lubi and Momisera. But they are not God. Pastor Lubi stood under the covering of Kenneth Hagin, Ralph Martins, and the British missionary in Oshogbo, Pa Elton, thank you, stood under their covering. The Kenneth Hagin stood under the covering of E.W. Kenyon. They stood under the covering of John Wesley. Those ones stood under the covering. So if you trace it back, you come to God's covenant with Abraham. Praise the Lord. So when we stand under the covering of apostolic and prophetic fathers, the history goes far. Amen. And he told Abraham, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, and your enemies will not be able to overcome you. And you will stand before all the gates of your enemies and you overcome them. That's the covering we are standing under. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Because the sad story in the beauty of millennials is that there's so much of an independent spirit. An independent spirit is taking the totality of who you are today to mean everything. Who are you?
And who is your father's house? And when did you start? That everything started and ended with you. No, it did not. Amen. You see them, they calculate everything and go, no, they forgot that they had an origin. And one day they will be gone and they will leave somebody to continue. And that brings us smack into humility. That it never started with you. Praise the Lord. Jesus was speaking. He said, other people labored. You have come into their labor. Amen. So some things are working for you and you now say the totality is you. No. You are standing under the labor of generations. And maybe fortunately or as the case may be, the reaping of the harvest now landed on top of you. And then you are not humble. You think everything started with you. Amen. It's a spirit we need to run away from. Independent spirit has never been of God. You see, and this is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat even Jesus. They traced it. It didn't start with him. Praise the Lord. So let's understand God's plan. So that we don't run into error. Amen. So that we don't run into error. And I'll be talking about it later, but since it has come up now, Jesus said, you run into error because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. If you knew the scriptures, you will see that nothing started with you. Obviously, the power of God never started with you. Praise the Lord. Last week, we talked about touching heaven and changing the earth. Praise the Lord. And we'll amplify some of those points because some of those points remain inexhaustive, so to say. We mentioned seven eternal things last week. God the Father, the Lord Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the angels. You remember? Okay, thank you. So, the Father, the Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Holy Spirit. And then, the power of the Holy Spirit on earth, the water, which is the Word of God, washing of the water by the Word, and the blood of Jesus. Okay? And we added one more, the angels of God. Praise the Lord. And today, I will be giving the exhortation more on the three that bear witness in the earth. The blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's 1 John, which we are seeing, talked about the fact that there are three that bear witness in heaven. Amen. And that just typically speaks about God in his combination. And then you are the one on earth that needs to operate your life to have heavenly input. Praise the Lord. The scripture says somewhere, as we are born the image of the earthly, we have to also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise the Lord. I told you the story, funny but serious, of my neighbor who says, don't mind Prof. Prof lives in heaven. We, aye ila wawa. But Bible says we must bear the image of the heavenly. Yes, thank you. As we are born the image of the earthly. Praise the Lord. People know you. Your name is Femi and Co. You are male, earthly. We must also bear the image of the heavenly while on earth. Amen. They'll say, this is a child of God. He knows God. He can't do it, oh. Can't do it. I'm alone. He's a child of God. True, true. You must bear the image of the heavenly. Praise the Lord. And the way that can happen is that when you are on earth, you are touching heaven. Amen. is the person you familiarize yourself with that you easily know. Amen. And you easily start to speak like or look like. Bible, that's why Bible warns us that evil communication corrupts good manners. Because if you are staying with some people and they are using some language, sooner or later, that language will be rubbing on you. But if you are constantly acknowledging God, constantly in God's presence, amen, constantly viewing the invisible God, constantly walking by faith to touch God, then the nature of God, His words, His language, His character will be rubbing on you. Praise the Lord. Will you start to bear the image of the heavenly? So touching heaven and changing the earth. Ecclesiastes 5:2. We talked about this the last time, just to show that heaven, even though God is everywhere, His major station is heaven. Praise the Lord. And even though you can touch heaven, your major station is where? The earth. Praise the Lord. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. This is where we are going. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Praise the Lord. So, basically, location-wise, God is in heaven. You are on earth. Amen. Psalm 115. I think it's 116. 116 verse 15. Or rather, it's the opposite. 115 verse 16. 115 verse 16. Psalms 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. Praise the Lord. So that's location-wise. The heaven, this is another exposition for another day. The heaven, even the heavens. Amen. Bible is not superfluous. Praise the Lord. It shall Solomon say, even the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Amen. But like I said, that's an exposition for another day. At the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the sons of men. Praise the Lord. That's God for you. Because really, the earth is the Lord's. But He has given, amen, to the sons of men. And God in His nature, He said He will not do anything except He speaks to man. Because He has given the earth to men. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the last scripture I wanted us to read, they've already shown it. That's the 1 John 5, 7 to 8. That the three bear witness in heaven, and then the three bear witness on earth. And so we want to measure on verse 8, those three things that bear witness on the earth. Let me see if I can do it better than Pastor Lalu. Pastor Lalu is the expert on blood, word, and spirit. Amen. So let me see if I can hit it to his level. Go back to that first. Yes, because me and Pastor Lalu were talking about this after the service on Wednesday. What's the whole essence of you on earth using the instrument of the blood, the word, and the spirit to make sure you touch heaven? Amen. Why don't you just want to live your own life? What's the importance that you must, the flow of God exists in heaven, you exist on earth, and that you communicate? Praise the Lord. That's 1 John 5:8. Go to verse 9. So there are three in heaven, then there are three on earth. Amen. The three in heaven agree in one. Agree, they are one. And the three in earth, to those instruments, agree in one. So verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this, God is speaking for Himself. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. Amen. So there are three that bear witness in heaven: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The three are one. Three bear witness on earth. the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. The next verse now says that God himself is bearing witness. Praise the Lord. And this is his witness which he has testified of his son. Praise the Lord. The center point is Jesus. Amen. The center point is what? You know, it's easy to believe that the center point is money. It's easy. The way society runs. And today we are talking to young people, millennials, that, my student used to tell me, Oga, now money is the issue. Yeah, because we live in a material world. I'm not taking away from it. But, no, that is not the center. Amen. The center is Jesus. It's Jesus. The center cannot be money. I want to assure you, if it is money, things will fall apart and that center will not hold. I can assure you of that. It will not hold. The center is Jesus. And God says this. Three bear witness. But this is the witness of God. He has testified of his son. Amen. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. We are talking of witnesses. Three bear witnesses. God has testified a witness of that. God has witnessed of himself and testified of his son. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. Verse 11. I think that's where we went. And this is the record. Go back to verse 10. Because sometimes it's good to read the word very. Because he believeth not the record. It's like a witness, a testimony. The record that God gave of his son. Verse 11 now. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. That's the end of everything. Praise the Lord. That is the whole aim of everything. So that's why it's our job and should be our joy. Conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the whole essence of Christianity. Conform to the image of the God brought his son to the earth to live the life, to die, and to be resurrected. And that we that believe in him, praise the Lord, should now grow to the image of that son. Praise the Lord. Now, in between are your blessings. In between are your life partner. In between are your visas. But never at the expense of this son. Amen. To the image that we are conforming to. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a simple message. The devil is the one that tries to becloud it to us. This is the target. Along the way, there are blessings. The error is to make the blessings the target. And any blessing that is shaking, is at variance, is struggling with the image of the Son, drop it. Drop it. Is the end of that is destruction. Praise the Lord. Drop it. You will drop it because that blessing is not your target. Your target is the image of the Son. And in that image of the Son, your blessing is assured. So the one that is shaking, drop it. It will never make you to make the image of the Son. Praise the Lord. If God freely gave us his Son, how much more with him will he not freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. If God freely gave us his son, how much more with him will he not freely give us all things? These are scriptures we need to believe. Amen. We need to believe them so that you can live the God life. Amen. They say, that guy is living the life. I want God's life.
Amen.
That one is the life. Praise the Lord. It is the life. I saw sample in Abraham. Amen. I saw sample in Abraham. We saw sample in Paul. Praise the Lord. We saw sample in Joseph. God's life is not an inferior life. Praise the Lord. It's not an inferior life at all.
And that's why we need to use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to grow into that image of the Son. Amen. The image of the Son. Hebrews 9:14. So let me just pick those things one by one. Pastor Lalo, I'm sure you have something to say on that. So I want to just emphasize those, the three tools on earth, the blood, the word, and the spirit. Hebrews 9:14. How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, I know all those. How can there be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There's only one God. And, you see, and thank God, as God kept opening our eyes, there are many scriptures that when you read that scripture, you will see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm just saying this one. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God? There are many scriptures like that. When Stephen was to be stoned to death, he said, and he opened his eyes. Praise the Lord. He opened his eyes and he saw, he said, he opened his eyes by the Spirit and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist said, when Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove, and he had a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And like I always said it, water, steam, and ice are all H2O. They are different, but they are the same. They are different, but they are the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, different, but they are the same. Praise the Lord. So don't let us get the devil mocking the waters for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. The blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge our conscience from dead works so that we can... Anytime those your conscience is worrying you, you made a mistake, you slipped off, conscience, God wants you to get back to a relationship and to your Christian worship. That's why the blood is there. It purges your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God. Praise the Lord. You can serve the living God. It's your blood that gives us access to you and makes a way. That's it. That's the blood. Purges the conscience from so that we can serve. It makes a way. Praise the Lord. And that's why Pastor always encourages you to say, why is it that every time when we hear you, the blood of Jesus is for expressway, blood of Jesus is for the exam paper, blood of Jesus, it purges and the blood never came to your conscience. Say, give that blood to purge our conscience. Amen. I mean, fine. Like, I know when people say the blood, the spirit behind it is that once the blood comes, let there be a pathway for the Spirit of God to act. But the primary place for your blood is your conscience. Amen. Make that conscience clean so that the word of God can flow in and the power of the Holy Spirit can be activated. Amen. Blood of Jesus purges our hearts from dead works, evil conscience to serve the living God. So please always mention the blood throughout the whole day. Amen. Amen. It's for cleansing and it's for maintaining access. Praise the Lord. Amen. The word of God. Acts 20:32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, brethren. If brethren are here, let them read. Now, brethren. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up
and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. Maybe all your life is about the inheritance of your father. Praise the Lord. I remember watching a drama, and one man said, this is my son. I know every day is wishing for me to die, that he may inherit what I have. The word of God is able to give you an inheritance. Amen. Amongst them that are sanctified. That's why, you know, that's what God told Jesus. God the Father spoke about it. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's an inheritance. Modupe, you don't want to hear that. This is my beloved daughter, in whom, I remember a man of God said, in all humility, I think God is pleased with me, but he's not yet well pleased. And I said, I think God is pleased with me, but he's not yet well pleased. That's a revelation that well pleased is an inheritance. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's what the word of God does. It will give you an inheritance. God sees the word of God in you. The word of God is the nature of Jesus himself. Praise the Lord. That's why God spoke that about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Let God be able to speak of us. Praise the Lord. It's the inheritance. That when we call upon him, the Bible says somewhere, it says, when you say my God, I will say, here I am. You call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer. That's an inheritance. Praise the Lord. You say, my God, I will say, here I am. Amen. It's growth. It's having the word of God in you. Say, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Praise the Lord. Richly. We need to always encourage ourselves. When we have dropped the word or our level of it, let's go back. Praise the Lord. Let's pick it up. Amen. Speak it up. The word of God cannot be a museum. The Bible can't be a museum. Must constantly, we feed on the word. Amen. The Bible says, it's able to build us up. Amen. You know, when you have a son, you have a company, you send the son to school. Son reads his book, passes with flying colors. Praise the Lord. When the father comes and says, all our labors, I think we can entrust him. We sent him to school. He came back. No parents were there. Maybe they sent him to South Africa or sent him to Switzerland, a top school, top engineering school. The guy came out top in the class. Came back, did youth service, went back, did IT in Siemens, top engineering company. And the father has an engineer, he said, he's been built up. So that's the word of God. He's able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. The word of God is not story reading, no. It's a build up process. We feed on the word of God to build us up. Amen. God showed me some scriptures today. Beautiful. These scriptures combine the blood and the word. Amen. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock. He's talking to pastors, but we are all ministers, isn't it? Able ministers of the New Testament. Hello? Hello? I'm not a prophet, though. Hello? All the people here listening to all this kind of word regularly, you are going to preach to the nations. You better start getting your priority right. This is development. All this is not for waste. You are going to preach in glory to the nations. Start to reorder your priorities. Am I clear? Take it therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. You know, I thought this scripture has is the blood and the word. It's actually blood, word, and spirit. Praise the Lord. Which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, feed them with the word, that church that he has purchased with his blood. Amen. The blood, the word of God, and the spirit. Amen. The blood gives us access. And the word of God will come in on fertile grounds. And then we empower it with the spirit. Praise the Lord. The word of God. The Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20. You know, Jude has only one chapter. So by the time you go to somewhere and someone is preaching, according to Jude chapter 5, you already know that you are being deceived. That's another gospel. Praise the Lord. But ye, beloved, building up. The word is able to build you up. Now the spirit. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Build up. Let me tell you, because there's no secret, what pastor taught us to prepare to preach. We're reading the word and we are praying in tongues. So all these scriptures, we go through them praying in tongues. So the word itself is able to build you up. The Holy Spirit speaking in tongues builds you up. Praise the Lord. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So you pray, you're reading the word, you're praying in tongues, reading the word, praying in tongues, reading the word, praying in tongues. Amen. So get the word of God activated. Amen. And then that's what we'll come to preach. Praise the Lord. That's how our Father has taught us. Ezekiel 28 verse 14. Let me look at some scriptures that combines the word and the spirit. Amen. Because the word and the spirit, they are the building blocks. Praise the Lord. The blood just creates the access. Amen. The word and the spirit are the building. Like I told you, there's a scripture I quoted. You do run into error. You do err. Give me that scripture. I think Mark 12, 23 or so, and then there's a Luke version. You err, E-R-R, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. We'll come back to this. You do err because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Mark 12, 23, Matthew 23, 13, Luke 20. Yeah, Matthew 22, 29. Good. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. You run into error. You run into error not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Because the scripture will build you up. Give you an answer. The power, the praying in the spirit will also build you up. Amen. Our chances of running into error is minimized greatly as we keep on with the word of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Minimizes our error frequency. Okay? Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel 28:14. This was describing Lucifer before he fell. Nobody wants to name his child Lucifer. He has given a bad image of that name. But Lucifer means light bearer. Very nice name. He just gave it a bad. Nobody wants to name his child Judas. Eh? Sandra. Or what's your name? Sarah. Your first son, Judas. You want to name him Judas? But Judas is from Judah. It's praise. But he's giving a bad name to that name. And nobody wants to near it. Lucifer means light bearer. So this was Lucifer before he fell. Thou art the anointed cherub. Read. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. That's God. Amen. When God sets people, they are the only ones that can upset themselves. I have set first in the church apostles, prophets. That was Lucifer. You are the anointed cherub, and I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. That walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn this stone into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That stone is the word of God. Amen. That's what Lucifer found himself in the midst of the stones of fire. Amen. The word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the danger of loading yourself with the word without the power of the Holy Spirit is that that word can be twisted by the devil. Amen. So this is how we shall pray. Midst of the stones of fire, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, those are the two building blocks mainly. The blood just creates the access for us to receive of the pure word and to receive of the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 32. This is also scripture about the word and the spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 32. And they were astonished. That's Jesus. They were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. Amen. There are words. People knew. These people could discern. They've been hearing words. But these words, they were with power. Amen. They were with power. These words were with power. Okay. I end with two scriptures. The way time flies. Two. 2 Corinthians 6:24. 2 Corinthians 6:24 and 27. I'll just jump. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, 4 and 7. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Then from 4, I'll just jump to 7. No, this is not the scriptures I want. Second Corinthians. Yeah. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. You are the ministers of God. God is speaking to all of you today. Amen. You are the ministers. All this was not planned, but the LG scripture, you are the ministers. They're not here warming the chair. You are God's ministers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I had a man of God many years ago. He said, in the end time, God is going to raise up an army. They are going to preach in Qatar, in Oman, in Afghanistan, in Uzbekistan, in Haiti, in Iraq, in Iran, in Belarus, in Tajikistan, in Nepal. I'm tired of God sending people to America and England. That's exactly what he said. I can't forget. He said, I'm tired of God sending people to America and England. I'm just quoting him. But in the end time, what the Bible says, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters covers the sea. Amen. The whole earth. Okay, so in order to approve ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in distresses, okay? Now going to verse 7. How they approve people as ministers. Verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness. That's the blood of Jesus. That's how we approve people as ministers. By the word of truth, by the power of God,
and by the armor of righteousness, which is the blood. Amen. That's how we are approved. Amen. Last scripture. Pastor Lalu will come. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Blood of Jesus, word of God, power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Those are our three tools. Amen. Let's be constantly using them. Amen. Constantly using them so that we can bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Blood of Jesus, it gives us access. The word of God builds us up. The power of the Holy Spirit also builds up, activates the word, and make us conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Pastor Lalu comes.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for that wonderful exposition that Prof just gave us about the blood, the word, and the spirit. And you know, like when I was coming up this afternoon, my thoughts was that the whole essence of this blood, word, and spirit that we talk about is so that we can develop the love of God. We can love God. Let's just make it easy. We can love God the way he has loved us. And we can love men the way God has loved us. Do you understand? So the reason why I'm talking about the blood, the word, and the spirit, and we're being taught about the blood, the word, and the spirit, is so that we can actually love God the way he loves us. You know, we can have the same boldness and confidence, you know, that he wants us to have. The way Jesus had boldness and confidence, I was able to walk and pray to God and stand in the presence of God and the angels and the devil and his demons without any sense of guilt and without any fear. You know, so the whole essence of this blood thing and word thing and power of the Holy Spirit thing is so that we can drive out fear. Are we together? It's so that we can develop a perfect, bold, comfortable relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, the same way the Lord Jesus, you know, had that kind of relationship with the Father. Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. He would say, God is my Father. And that thing always triggered annoyance and envy amongst the Jews. So you see, God wants you and me to get to a place, you know, where we have such confidence, we're so bold, and we've so grown to be like Jesus. And you can say the kind of things that Jesus said when he was on earth. You see, because the Lord Jesus is our pattern and is our goal. He didn't just come on earth to show up. He came on earth to show us the way we are supposed to live and what we are supposed to demonstrate, the way we are supposed to walk. That's why the Bible says that we must walk even as he walked. Do you understand? So he was just being an example to us. He was just showing us that, look, when you guys get born again and you receive me as my Lord and you receive me, you know, talking about himself as Lord and Savior, all you just need to do is to dub me. And you're going to see that he's going to get to a point when you begin to do that in all humility and confidence and boldness. There are some people, you're going to show up some people, you know, and they're going to be jealous of you. You know, so be prepared for that because not everybody's going to like you. So that's the whole essence of this blood, word, and spirit thing we're talking about, is so that we can have confidence. You know, while other people are saying there is a casting down and God loves me today, God doesn't love me today, I'm not sure whether God loves me. You know, can I live above sin? Can I defeat sin, sickness, poverty? The whole essence of this blood, word, and spirit is going to bring you into a point and it's going to allow you to grow, you know, in boldness and confidence and love. you know, and drive out fear. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. You know, and you are going to know that God loves me the way he loves Jesus. And the kind of things that Jesus did, I can do, I will do, and even greater. So when you start to talk like that, then we know that there is no more fear. Give me 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I believe it's 17 and 18. The reason I'm saying this is because of what Prof said. And you see, after, because we always, nobody is a monopoly in himself, and we always discuss these things, and as he's talking, I'm receiving light. As I'm talking, he too is receiving light, you know, under the covenant of the fathers. And so we've, in all humility, and so we just discussed that, what's the whole essence of what was God saying when he said, these three bear record in heaven? The record is testimony. Testimony is witness. So we have three people in heaven that bear record, testimony, and witness. You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And then on earth, you have the blood, the word, and the spirit. But what's the whole essence of that? And then he now took us to the next verse. Just let's go back to that verse, 1 John 5. And then we'll come back here. 1 John 5. So we know that there is a goal. We are not worshiping the weapons. We are not worshiping the process. It's the person. There's a reason. Do you understand? For this blood, word, and spirit thing. What is it supposed to bring me into? And what am I supposed to use it to achieve? It says, next verse. We're going to, so it says, he's now giving us, he's just coming to our level, our human level, that as humans, we always receive the witness of men. If I tell you that they said that, and you know, this is the age where there's so much misinformation at this time. But if I tell you that so-and-so told me that, or this person was there and he heard that, that's a witness. Do you know, or he saw. So God is now saying that if we receive the witness of men, of a person that said he was there, you know, he saw it, he heard it, or he's even the one that experienced it. So if we say we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? So in heaven, there are three that bear witness. On earth, there are three that bear witness. For this, now he wants to define the witness of God. When we are saying the witness of God, when we are saying the testimony of God, when we are saying the record of God, what he's now defining it, this is the witness of God which he what? Testified of his what? Son. Like Prof was saying, the center of this thing is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about a church. It's not about a man. It's not about some tools. It's about what? The Lord Jesus. Next verse. Go on. So we are witnessing. And you say, many of us will say we want to witness Jesus to people. You want to evangelize Jesus to people. You want to tell people about Jesus. Now, God is telling us, yes. Now, this witness, how is it going to come about in your life? That people are going to see Jesus in you. You might not even have to talk. Do you understand? But by your lifestyle, your behavior, the way you think, the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you relate with men, all they are seeing is Jesus. That is a witness, and that is a witness he's talking about. Are we together? So he's now saying that the way we are going to achieve that witness, that people are going to see, people are going to feel, and they're going to be able to relate with, is by using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Do we understand? So this is what he's saying. Say, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a what? Liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his what? Next verse. He now says, this is the record. This is the witness that we are talking about. All this now we're talking about witness, testimony, record. See, somebody will say, I have a testimony. God did this, God did that. Now, he's saying, this is God's own record. This is God's own witness. This is God's own testimony. That God has what? Given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. So, if I want to know the life, I want to see the life, I want to taste the life, I want to feel the life, it is what? In his Son. And the only thing that can help me to bear that life or to witness that life is by using the blood of his Son, the word of his Son, the power of the Holy Spirit of his what? Son. That is the only reason, that is the only way I can bear and show forth and manifest. That's why Prof was talking about bearing the image of the heavenly. We have borne the image of fallen man, of the earthly. Now we must bear the image of the heavenly. People are tired of religion. They want to see what? Jesus. Are we together? Okay, yeah, so my emphasis today is your mouth. Say your mouth. Say your mouth. Excellent. Someone just said my mouth. Say my mouth. My mouth. You know, somebody said earlier in the year that this year is going to be a year of your mouth. You know, I didn't really understand what he was saying, but it's now making sense to me, you know. But I'm going to show you. I have 4 points here. And we'll just expound the important ones, especially when it comes to the mouth. First, I had written this, that a summary of Christianity is the recreation of your spirit. Say, the recreation of my spirit. And that happens when I get born again. Do you understand? But that is not the end. The next thing I must begin to experience is the renewal of my mind. Say, the renewal of my mind. The renewal of my mind. And then the redemption of my body. So I'm going to say it again. Recreation of my spirit. Renewal of my mind. Or we can say it this way. The rest for my soul. Rest for my soul. And redemption for my body. Or redemption of my body. And of course, recreation of the spirit is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, where it says that we are born again. You know, and God has made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then rest for my soul, or renewal of the mind, is Romans 12. And you can also find it in Matthew 11, where Jesus was saying that all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you know, I will give you what? Rest for your what? Rest for your what? Soul. You know, and he wasn't talking to Gentiles then. He was talking to Jews. So he's like talking to Christians, people, believers. And then redemption of our bodies, because there's still sin in our physical body. And that is in Romans chapter 8. So understand that Christianity is more than just getting born again. It involves these three things. Now, this blood, word, and spirit that we talked about, or we've been talking about, I want to see it from another scripture. And this just came to me while we're praying. 1 hour before. Romans 8, 1 to 2. The blood, word, and spirit thing that is being taught right now, that is an emphasis to be able to help us to bear the witness of the heavenly. It has showed us the people that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he's telling us that for us to be able to bear those same witness and show forth those same people and their nature and their character and their behavior on the earth, we must use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But you see, this thing, I'm beginning to see that it is not, of course, it's not somebody's doctrine. It's not the emphasis of one local church. It is a law. Say it is a law. Operation of the blood, of the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect the love of God is a law. Romans 8, 1 to 2. I'm going to come back to that 1 John 4, you know. But let's see this Romans 8, 1 to 2. And we're going to read it together. It says, there is what? I want to hear you. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. Before we go on. There is, therefore, in heaven. Now. You see, now, time moves. And every moment when you move now, it's not just yesterday. It's not 10 years ago when you felt good or you got born again. It's not going to be in 10 years' time or 20 years' time. And it's not going to be in heaven. It's now. Every time the second is ticking, now. Every time you are breathing and living, it applies. Do you understand? There is therefore now. Know what? Just for people that are always living under self-condemnation or guilt. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? Yeah, let me hear you. In what? In Christ Jesus. So it applies to people that are born again. I must be born again. All right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Now, let's define how you now walk after the Spirit and how you operate and maximize, you know, that relationship and power of the Holy Spirit. It says, for the what? I can't hear you. For the what? The law. So it's a law. The law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? Has made me free from what? You know, Jesus operated above the law of sin and death. Do you understand? He did not sin. He could not sin. He could have sinned. He was tempted in every area, but he did not sin. He was tempted. So that means that he could have sinned. But he did not, because he was operating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So now, in that law, you see the Spirit. Say the Spirit. You see life. And you see what? Christ Jesus. You see what? You see what? And you see what? Let's say it again. You see what? You see what? And you see what? So you see, those three things are there again. So he's telling you, see, what the reason I brought that is that it is a law. You want to move above the law of sin and death, the law of gravity that is pulling us down into sin, sickness, poverty, self-condemnation, fear, lust, pride, works of the flesh, name it, all the law of sin and death. Whatever infirmity you have that hitherto has captivated you, you want to break out from that thing, you must operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the law of the Spirit there is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about it. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, travail. And then we have life. Say life. Say life. It says, in the beginning was when the Word was God, the Word was God. In him was what? Life. And the what? Life was the light of men. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are what? Spirit, and they are what? So the word is hidden there. See, it's the same story. They are just scattered around the Bible in diverse forms. The story, like Paul and Daniel, like Joseph and Daniel told the kings of those days, says the dream is one. And the interpretation is sure. God is going to say the same thing in diverse ways through diverse people, but he's still making the same point, because the dream is one. The interpretation is sure. So what he has brought through Paul here is the same thing. Prof took us to Ezekiel, the same thing. Do you understand? He took us to Hebrews, Paul, the same thing. So you have, he's just hiding it from the devil. And just manifold wisdom and just capturing the brain of the devil and dribbling him and giving him all the kaffa. So when you are saying, it's still the same blood, word, and spirit. So you have the point I'm trying to make is that it is a law. In this end time, it is a law that you must just stick with, and you must just learn to operate and make up your mind you're going to keep and purpose in your heart and better believe to start operating, so you can start living above the law of sin and death, of fear, of worry, anxiety, poverty mindset, unbelief, carelessness, negligence, prayerlessness, and all the things that come against us, immorality, perversion. The law of the Spirit of life, the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, which you get from the Word of God, and Christ Jesus. Of course, Christ Jesus simply means the blood of Jesus. Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is the one that died for us on the cross of Calvary. So the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross. So the Christ Jesus there just represents the blood. The life there, of course, we get it from the Word. And then you see the Spirit there, which is the same thing we've been talking about, the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the law of sin and death, from the curse of the law. But it is by his blood that he purchased us. So hidden in those three things, you have the blood, you have the Word, the Spirit. The emphasis is that it is a law that we must begin to operate to live above the gravitational pull of sin and death and of Satan. Do you understand? So you want to know the secret path to success and begin to know and taste and enjoy the victory daily. Then I must increase in operating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, using the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the what? Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before I emphasize this mouth part, give me that 1 John 4:17-18, just for us to know that the whole essence of this blood, word, and spirit is for me to be able to perfect my relationship and my love for God. God wants us to love him and burn with his love. The way God loves us, God wants people, a bunch of people are going to love him the way he loves them. See, God is a lover. I don't even say lover boy. God is a lover. Let's put it like that. He's a lover God. Do you understand? He loves to be loved. And he's jealous when you don't love him alone. Do you understand? So when you, if you want to know a person that is a real lover, it's God. Do you understand? So now God wants us to love him. We love because he first loved us. His love exchange, his love, his lovers. Do you understand? His lovers. That's why we put the devil out. He doesn't know how to love, so we don't invite him. Do you understand? He doesn't know how to love. So that's why the Bible says that people that don't love, they are of the devil. Do you understand? They are in darkness. They are like Cain. You understand? They can't love. They can't forgive. So God is looking for God lovers because it is because of love that he gave his only begotten son to save the world. And those that say they love must lay down their life just like the Lord just also laid down his life. And for them to be able to lay down, they must love the way God loves, the way Jesus loves, because the way the Spirit loves. Do you understand? So this Christianity is all, is a love. They are, all of you are lovers. You love, eh? You want to know how to love, then you must come into real Christianity. So he says, herein is our love made perfect. Our love for God, our love for his creation. Because you see, what's going to stir you up to begin to build and create in the end time and innovate is when you love God's creation. Because creation is in bondage and they are looking for liberators. So you must love, our love must be made perfect that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. When people are saying, am I going to make heaven? When people are saying, when I get to heaven, am I going to be in a mansion? Am I going to reign with God? Or am I... All those fears. In the day of judgment. In the day of perils. In the day of pestilence. In the day when people are... When the world is being judged or going through stuff. You will have boldness. Because you know that God loves you. Do you understand? The way he loves Jesus. You are not fearful. There's no more fear. And God wants us to... Because see... When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was a garden of love. God will come down in the cool of the day and have fellowship, love, intimacy with them. Are we together? But the moment sin crept in, then fear entered. And then they were not bold again. Adam, where are you? I was afraid. But God wants a people where there's no more fear. God plus us minus fear equals perfect love. Because as he is, this is what Prophet was saying, we are bearing the image of the heavenly, so are we in heaven. Where? As he is, so are we where? In this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The whole reason why I came here is, so you know that the whole essence of me using the blood every day and regularly, every second, knowing the word and speaking the word, as we get to see, and using the power of the Holy Spirit is so that I can come into a deeper, perfect, intimate relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and be able to show that love to his creation, to be able to perfect his love, so that as he is, God is love in heaven, so are we in this world. Do you understand? Are we together? Yeah, I want to be sure that we are in the same frequency. Because, you see, you will begin to appreciate and your frequency and addiction to the blood, word, and spirit will increase when you know that the goal of that thing is for you to be able to love God the way he loves you and to be able to love his creation the way he loves you and for you to be able to have fellowship and intimacy with you, with him, the way Jesus did when he was on earth. Do you understand? Now, emphasis about opening your mouth. The blood, the word, and the spirit, knowing something is not the experience of that thing. You must activate it. And you will activate the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit by what? Opening your mouth. Say, opening my mouth. Opening my mouth. Yeah, so I said the operation of faith is by opening your mouth. Give us Deuteronomy 30:14. Deuteronomy 30:14. So this blood stuff, this word stuff, this spirit stuff, how does it work? Is it by my feelings or is it by faith? Is it by me just hoping it or is it by me opening my mouth? Let's read it here. But the word is where? In heaven. Where? On earth. Is nigh unto thee, Where? See, you have the solution in your Sokoto. So you don't have to go to Sokoto like they will say. Do you understand? The operation and the solution and activation of the blood, the word, and the spirit is where? In my
mouth.
And where?
My heart.
That I may activate it. That you may operate it. You want to operate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You want to enjoy the blood, the word, and the spirit every time, now, every second. It is by opening your mouth and believing in your heart. Give me verse 16. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day. So you can see the whole essence of opening my mouth, believing in my heart, using the blood, word, and spirit, is that I may do what? This day I may do what? Love the Lord my God. See, God is a lover. God is looking for lovers. Do you understand? People that love him, he shows himself to. He can't resist. Let me tell you the secret about God. He can't resist opening more and telling you more and giving you things and giving you wisdom and giving you himself. Most importantly, and making like himself. And then you'll be able to walk in his ways. You'll be able to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. You'll be able to live and multiply. And God will bless you wherever you go and you'll possess it. So you can see the abundant promise and blessings that come with opening my mouth and believing in my heart. This thing about the blood, the word, and the spirit. Again, like we said, you can say the dream is true. His dream is one. So that I can love God. God is looking for lovers. God is hungry for lovers. You see, the Lord just is looking for lovers. That's why the church is his bride. If he's not looking for a lover, then you don't need a bride. How are we not going to marry? Somebody says, sir. You see, even Paul, as much as he didn't marry, he said, don't you think that we cannot be like Peter and the other disciples that got married? I'm just trying to tell you that intimacy and relationship, this Christian is all about intimacy and relationship, where you can get to a point where fear has been totally subtracted and driven out. And fear comes as a result of sin. You know, has been driven out by that blood, word, and spirit. So I can relate with God the way God wants me to relate with him. And the way the Lord just related with him. Okay, so Romans 10, 7 to 10. I'm just talking about how do you use the blood, word, and spirit. Is it just by hearing it? Prof has talked about it. Pastor Laudato has mentioned it. And so it is sealed. No. You must open your mouth. You must believe in your heart. It says, or who will... Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Some people are saying this in their hearts. Ah, this is becoming like Jesus. This Jesus thing, can we really be, who will go to heaven for us? Who can bring Christ down? Prophet said that we will bear the image of the heavenly, like the Bible says. Ah, who will bring Christ down? As he is, so are we in this world. Who will bring Christ down? You don't know how I look. You don't know what I do. Who will bring Christ down from above? Christ in heaven. Next verse. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. So you have two extremes. People that believe that, we can't be like Jesus. The other people that believe that, did Jesus really die? Can that resurrection life really change me? Can I really live above sin and poverty and sickness and ignorance and failure? You don't know what I face every day. This thing keeps pulling me down. Next verse. But what saith it? This guy is now quoting Deuteronomy. The word, the solution, the blood, word, and spirit. The solution is what? Where is it? Even in your what? And in your, that is the word of faith which we what? Preach. Next verse. I just want you to be set free. And God wants us to be set free knowing that using the blood, confessing our sins, opening our mouth to activate the blood, opening our mouth to activate the word regularly, not just when you come to church and you feel jim-jim, and you feel goosebumps. Every time. Now. There is no condemnation. Now. There is no condemnation. Now. You know? Opening your mouth, then you'll be set free. Now, it says, if you will what? Open your mouth now. You see, that's the challenge of Christians. That if you will what? Confess with your the what? And you will what? in your hearts that he has raised him from the dead, you shall be. This is not just about being born again. It's from faith to faith. It's continuous. Do you understand? Great. Thank you. Be saved. For with the heart, man what? Unto righteousness, right standing, even right doing. And with the mouth, confession is made unto. And you know, salvation is not just getting born again. The end of my faith is the salvation of my soul. I said, my salvation and Christianity is progressive. I get born again. My spirit is recreated. My soul must find rest. And my body must be redeemed. Do you understand? So you want to experience salvation, progressive salvation, continuous salvation in every area of your life. Salvation, dominion over sin, dominion over sickness, poverty, ignorance, failure, lust, fear, lack, whatever it may be. I must believe in my heart. I must confess with my mouth unto what? Unto what? Salvation. Good. Now I'm going to end with this. Just to quickly show you that using the blood, the word, and the spirit involves opening your mouth. And it doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with faith. The operation of faith is opening my mouth and believing in my heart. It has nothing to do with my... come on, guys. It has nothing to do with my... God's love for you has nothing to do with feelings. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with goosebumps and dream praise and worship or dream prayers. It's by faith. So, 1 John 1:7-9 says, if we confess with our mouth, if we confess our sins, confess, open your mouth. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. To use the blood of Jesus, I must open my mouth. I must believe in my heart that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I don't care how I feel. What you feel is just the symptoms. The blood, the drug is already working. It has already killed the malaria. Are we together? So confess your sins, open your mouth. If we, the blood of Jesus, we have fellowship with the Father. If we say that we have no, if we confess our sins, confess. You, what do you use to confess? Mouth. Father, I confess my sins. Lord, have mercy on me. Irrespective of what I feel. Lord, I know that you are forgiving me. You said if I confess my sins, God is faithful and just forgive me of my sins to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. This is how you are going to have victory over the sin nature, sin consciousness, fear, and whatever it may be you might be facing. I confess my sins with my mouth. God forgives me. Give me Psalms 32. I just want to quickly show you the importance of opening your mouth. Psalms 32, verse 1. Hurry up. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How? Next verse. I'm going to just read fast. Quickly. The man to whom God does not impute sin, whose spirit there is no guile. How? Next verse. Verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. This guy didn't have rest. This guy was under condemnation. This guy knew that there was something that he hadn't said. Next verse. Hurry up. For day and night, my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. But what did he now do? How did he get himself saved? I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. What did I do? I did what? I said, I will what? Confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou did what? So all this thing that the guy had been suffering for the past 24 hours or the past 1 week, and even he was so irritated, the irritation was spreading to his friends and his roommates. But when he confessed his sins, God removed the burden within a nanosecond. And the heavy burden and the heavy load. Do you understand what I'm saying? All you need to do, some of you are just spreading irritation amongst your rooms or in your home because you are bottling something you're supposed to have confessed to God. And so the moment the guy confessed his sin, God forgave him. And if you keep reading the next verse, you see the guy was so excited and free. So all you need to do many times to save yourself is to what? Open your mouth and confess your sins so that the blood of Jesus can work and God can forgive you and righteousness can be imputed unto you. The word, we've already seen that. Romans 10, it says, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the word of God, you will be what? Saved. You need to know the word of God about different areas of your life, about different challenges, different matters, different situations. You need to open your mouth. Don't let Satan shut your mouth or make you shut your mouth. Open your mouth. Say, open your mouth. Excellent. So the Bible also says in Ephesians 4, it says, speaking the truth in love, you must open your mouth. You have to talk the word of God. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him in all things. Everything, every area. Jesus was not sick. Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not a failure. He opened his mouth. We must open our mouth in love that we may grow up into him in all things. Speaking the truth, thy word is truth. Jonathan, you must speak it. It's a year of opening your mouth. And then finally, does the power of the Holy Spirit involve opening your mouth? Most definitely. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, thank you. Speaking the truth. Thy word is truth. So speaking thy word in love. Now, see this one. Let's read it together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they kept quiet. What did they do? They began to murmur. They began to mumble. You know, some when they are praying, just be looking around. They began to look around. They began to speak with other tongues. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, you open your mouth. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. I just want to convince you and not confuse you. It's true. You know, some people, they are debating in their mind whether they should open their mouth or they should not open their mouth. For he that danceth, he that jumpeth, he that keeps quiet and looks so holy and is just looking at them. Oh, my lady, I won't open their mouth. And he's just looking around. He that what? Speaks in an unknown tongue. He speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands how beats in the spirit. He speaks what? Mysteries. You want to activate, you open your mouth. See, this God's thing is not difficult to. I didn't say you should go and carry calabash in the night or look for the leg of a cockroach. I didn't say you should do that. We just say you should open your mouth every morning, every second, every minute, every hour, every day. Open your mouth, confess your sins. Open your mouth, speak the word of God in love. So you can be delivered and grow up into. Open your mouth, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. Speaking the praying in the Spirit with all types of prayer. My little children of whom I travail in birth. You have to open your mouth to travail. You see the woman that is traveling and you know, have you seen a woman that is closing her mouth and travailing? Ah! You open your mouth. You want to be saved. You will open that mouth. You understand? You want to pray in supplication. You just say, even if she's a scared lady. By the time she gets a labor word, I think I should get my wife or Auntie Fumi to come and talk about travail. You've been through it. They don't do, They open their mouth wide. They groan. Bible says that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. The belly, the river is in your spirit and it's flowing out of your mouth. You have to open your mouth, guide. You have to open your mouth, guys. And so, let us bow our heads as we pray. Prof wants to say something. Yes, that's what Grandpa Papa Ralph told us. He says, open your mouth and let God out. God is in you. Many people have shut God up. They've shut the power of the Holy Spirit up in their hearts. The Holy Spirit is in you. The God of the created universe is in you. But many people just say, I'm only make it. I can't make it in Jesus' name. So I would say, they won't say anything. Open your mouth and let God out. Do you understand? Confess your sins. Open your mouth. Speak the word concerning areas of your life. If you don't know it, ask somebody and we'll put it in your mouth so that you can start saying it. And then pray in the Spirit with all types of prayer. Petition, Jakatari Bobo Sontoria, supplication, mercy, Lord Rebaba Santana, travail. The Bible says the Lord was in the days of his flesh. He offered up prayers with soft crying and strong crying. You see, people that are crying and you don't hear anything. Strong crying. Strong crying out of his belly, through his mouth, into the air. And then you live that victorious life like the Lord Jesus. Let's stand up on our feet. We just want to commit to this. Repent of unbelief and then committing to using the blood, the word, and the spirit regularly. Let's just bow our heads and lift up our hands, asking God for mercy. Talk to God personally, and then we'll pray together. God is a lover. We've heard many things. You need to go back and listen to these things that pour from myself by the Spirit. These are not even, we speak beyond ourselves when we come here. Before we pray, there's a scripture I had put down, but I didn't mention it, but I just think it's important that I mention it, and there is for a reason. Because people have this guilt conscience. The Bible says the blood of Jesus has purged us from all dead works, from a guilty conscience, from all dead works. Does God love me when I confess my sins? Yes, it does. The blood is powerful enough to purge your conscience from dead works, so you can serve the living God. And 1 John says that God is greater than our hearts. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater. Can you just show me that scripture? Because many young people live under this sin condemnation. God doesn't want us to live under self-condemnation. God is greater than our hearts. In fact, people can correct you and your hearts can smite you, but in it all, yes, change, repent. However, God is greater than your hearts. If our hearts condemn us, let's read it here. For if our hearts condemn us, God is what? Than our hearts, and what? Now, this doesn't give me a liberty to sin or a license to be proud that nobody can correct me. But I mean, it's just to let you know that God is for you. God is not against you. God wants the best for you and me. Do you understand? Especially when we humble ourselves, confess our sins, repent, you know, apologize, forgive, or ask for forgiveness and mercy. Do you understand? Whether you're at fault or you're not at fault at a particular situation. And especially if at that point you are not at fault, God is greater than your heart. Do you understand? That's the kind of confidence God wants us to have in Him, in our relationship with Him. Let's just bow our head and lift up our hands. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Lord, have mercy. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, thank you for your word that we've heard. We confess our sins of unbelief and fear and disobedience, laziness, lack of diligence in using your blood, your word, and your spirit, even the power of the spirit, or in trusting in the blood, in your word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to have a deeper relationship, greater relationship, intimate relationship with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving us of these sins. We repent of these sins and we receive forgiveness, cleansing, and the purging of our consciences from all these dead works, to be able to serve you, the living God, without fear or condemnation. Father, we thank you. We ask for mercy, grace, and help to be diligent in using your blood, your word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect your love in our lives. Father, we thank you. Help us to diligently, boldly, confidently open our mouth, confess our sins, speak the word in love, and release the power of the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit every time, every day, every time we have the opportunity. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Thank you, Father Bazaka. Thank you, Lord Jezekiah. Thank you, Holy Spirit Bakaya. Releasing mercy, Bakaya. Grace and help, Bakateria. To love you more, Bakaya. To love you, Labaharia. With all of our hearts, Messiah. To fear you, Balaskaya. To walk with you, Bashaya. To let God out, Bashaya. To release God, Bakaya. Into our souls, Bakaya. Into our bodies, Rabakaya. Into our circumstances, Rabakaya. Into our regional heavens, Rabakaya. Into our loved ones and friends, into the world and the planet, Messiah, so your kingdom will come and your will be done in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.